Since 1937, the lights of spiritual guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning. I hope you enjoyed that song by Mr. Stephen Hill, the late Stephen Hill. Went home to be with the Lord a few years ago at a very early age, and we certainly miss him and his great talent. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And we are sharing a message for these first couple of weeks of the month of March that talks about going deep into that rock. A message on holiness that I preached in a revival meeting in Spencer, Indiana in February, And I hope it'll be a challenge to you as you listen. This is a 5-weekend month, and that means extra expense for radio time. I hope that you'll pray about supporting the Lights of Spiritual Guidance if you're not already doing that. We do have some faithful supporters that help us stay on this station, but we have had to say goodbye to some last year, and we need your help. We only have just a few of the original supporters when I started producing this program back after Dad went home to be with the Lord in the year 2000. So we need some new folks to step up and help us out. So you can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lomanministries.org. You can give through Venmo or through PayPal. I'm in revival meetings in the month of March. March 3 to 6, Nebo, Illinois, at the Church of the Nazarene. Then traveling to my home state of North Carolina, Fayetteville, North Carolina, March 15 to 17 in the Wesleyan Church there. Then March 22 to 24, Buffalo, Kentucky, again in the Church of the Nazarene. So I do covet your prayers as I travel and conduct these revival meetings. Prayer is absolutely essential when we do what we do, and we need for our folks to pray for us. And I'm so thankful for the many who do lift our ministry up to the Lord and pray for anointing and safety. It means so very, very much. So thank you for doing that. If you do it, it means a lot. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for our listening audience today and ask that you would be with those who are sick and shut in. This might be the only church they have this weekend. Pray that you'd touch them, be with them, encourage them. Those, Father, who have special spiritual needs, meet that need, I pray. Continue to bless this radio ministry as you've always done, and we'll give you the praise. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you as you listen to the music and the message on holiness.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the Lord.
Sure.
song. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Oh, love of God.
Exodus chapter 3. It's a somewhat lengthy passage of Scripture, so let me bring you up to speed. If you know the name Moses, you know that Moses spent most of his life in Egypt, and then he committed a grievous act against an Egyptian. He killed him. He escaped to the backside of the Midian desert, and he spent a great number of years there. And then one day, after he had married, living there, something unexpected happened in his life. We pick up his story in Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Two more verses found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. Verses 1 and 2. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. A man by the name of Scott McKnight wrote a book titled The King Jesus Gospel. And in that book, he makes this statement. There are huge pockets of contemporary evangelicalism where the gospel is understood almost uniquely in terms of four simple points. God loves you. You're messed up. Jesus died for you. Accept him and you can go to heaven. McKnight concludes, "My contention is not so much that this is wrong, but that it is a pale shadow of what ought to be." Noted Christian thinker, the late Dallas Willard, discussed the reduction of the gospel of salvation and gave it a potent and damning label. He called it the gospel of sin management. He said, and I quote, "Your system is perfectly designed to yield the result you are getting. The gospel of sin management presumes a Christ with no serious work other than redeeming mankind." He goes on to say this, "For most Americans, the gospel is about getting my sins forgiven so I can go to heaven when I die. They foster vampire Christians who only want a little bit of blood for their sins, but nothing more to do with Jesus until heaven." I want to speak to you tonight on a subject, generally speaking, has become lost in the maze of evangelical Christian thinking and teaching. They prefer a more user-friendly Christianity. I want to talk to you tonight about one word: holiness. I fear that the word holiness has fallen on hard times. It's interesting to me how words can change meaning over a period of time. Words used to evolve over hundreds of years, but now it seems they change from generation to generation. Here's a perfect example of that. I like particular kinds of music. I like the early rock and roll music of the late 50s and the early 60s. And I can remember back in 1956, there was a song titled "The Great Pretender." The first two lines of the refrain go like this: "Oh yes, I'm the great pretender, just laughing and gay as a clown." You hear that word "gay" in our Christmas songs. "Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Deck the halls with boughs of holly. 'Tis the season to be jolly. Don we now our gay apparel." I want gay back. It's been hijacked by our society. It used to be an adjective that described a person's demeanor, their attitude. But now it has morphed into a lifestyle that the Bible clearly condemns. We flinch at the use of certain words, and there is a certain level of tragedy that is attached when a word loses its intended meaning. And when that happens in our biblical vocabulary, words that define how we act and how we define and how we talk about God, then our devotional attitude toward God and our understanding of God may become warped around the dysfunction of our vocabulary. I want to invite you to think deeply with me tonight, to go beyond the surface, to get right down to what it really means when we talk about the word holiness. Because you see, the word holiness helps us know the heart of God. We serve a holy God. The Bible is very clear about that. And a biblical understanding of God's holiness is absolutely essential in the 21st century church. There must be no mistakes when it comes to knowing God in His holiness. No mistakes in understanding how that relates to you and me when it comes to living a holy life. Because the Bible is very clear regarding this teaching about holiness. It says God is holy. And the book says in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 10, "But God disciplines us for our good in order that we might share in His holiness." But here's the greatest incentive to understand this word holiness at the deepest level possible. The Bible clearly tells us, without it, you don't get to see Him. The Bible says it. Without holiness, chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 14. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So, that should cause us to sit up and take notice of the word holiness and how it relates to each and every one of us in the building tonight. So with that in mind, I'm going to talk to you about holiness. And we're first going to consider the explanation of God's holiness. And then we're going to look at the expectation of God's holiness. And we will finish with the experience of God's holiness. Let's first of all deal with the explanation of God's holiness. Now, in the scripture that we read in your hearing earlier, we find that God began a 40-year conversation with Moses on the backside of the Midian Desert. And from that moment, Moses became the mouthpiece for God, all the way from Egypt to the border of the Promised Land when the children of Israel were about to cross over into Canaan. And the challenge now, as he goes from the Midian Desert down into Egypt to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, the challenge for Moses was to reintroduce God to the Israelites. You must remember that Israel had been in Egypt 430 years. More than one generation had come and gone since they first arrived there under Joseph's leadership. 430 years. Moses asked God for a definition, a name for God that he could announce to the enslaved Israelites. And that definition, that name was going to be different than the one that Moses would use when he approached Pharaoh about releasing the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. You see, God knew and Moses knew that Pharaoh would need a demonstration of the power of God if the children of Israel were going to be released from Egyptian bondage. You can read that in Exodus chapter 3, verse 19. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. But the people of Israel will need to know who God is, not just a demonstration of what he could do. Again, you must remember they've been under the influence of a pagan nation for 430 years. They knew about the gods of Egypt. They grew up in that culture. They knew about Ra, the god of sun. They knew about Isis, the goddess of medicine. They knew about Hathor, the goddess of love, but they had no concept of the one true God. They knew little, if anything, about him. They had been absent of any teaching about God for 430 years. Interestingly enough, tonight, God did not raise Moses up to lead them out of Egyptian bondage because one day the Israelites got tired of the oppression under which they lived and wanted to be delivered from that. You don't find in the Word of God that one day the Israelites said, "Hey, I'm tired of being a slave. Let's call on God and ask him to deliver us from this Egyptian bondage." You won't find that in the Word of God. They didn't have a prayer meeting asking God for deliverance. The Bible says that God saw, and God heard, and God responded. It was God who initiated the action on behalf of the Israelites. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you to get you out of Egyptian bondage,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what name shall I give them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. That's my name. I am." God wants them to know who he is. Could it be that God desires the same of us? He wants us to know who he is. He says, "I am." Do you realize that God's name is a verb of being? Our names are nouns. What's your name? Madison. That's a noun. My name's Lane. That's a noun. What's your name? Gianna. That's a noun. Not a verb of being. God's name is a verb of being. You say, what's the difference? What does that matter? God's name being a verb of being and my name being a noun. Well, you see, what that means is that God presents himself as an ever-present reality.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship, and if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fosteria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. Hope you'll tune in next week at this same time. And in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.